So in our lives, all sorts of, let's start again. There once was a Rav who went to try out to be the Rav of a town somewhere. Take a sheet from the back as you come. The Rav went to try out to be the Rav of a town somewhere. And they wanted him to be the Rav, so he said, okay, here's what we're going to do as a test. And he said, every Shaila that you have for 1 week, no matter how small, I want to get a sense of the town, bring me every Shaila you have. I want every single one for 1 week. Okay, so they agreed to the terms, and even the most basic question of, I don't know, what bracha do I make on this, and I put the wrong spoon in this, you know, even basic ones that everybody knows, oh, it was cold, just rinse it, blah, blah, blah. They brought to him. At the end of the week, they said, Nu, do you want the job? And he said, no, because nobody brought me any choshen mishpat shaylas. Nobody brought me any shayla on, can I borrow my friend's item without permission? Can I, I did this. Can I let the guy keep the change? I borrowed a potato from my neighbor. Can I give him back a bigger one? There's sheets in the back. So all those questions, these come up all the time. So I'm familiar with a book. I have it in the library. It's called Money, the Bottom Line. And in the back of the book, the book's in English. But in the back of the book, he has like a sefer that he wrote. It looks kind of like this. Okay? And he has like all of, or a good portion of Choshen Mishpat, really quick and clear. And I think it's a very worthwhile idea to go through that sefer and discuss some of the ideas so that we know what we're supposed to be doing in life and how to be careful with our money and other people's money. That's always true, but especially true. You know, you're all going to one day be out there in the world and earning your living, and so you have to know what you're allowed to do and not allowed to do, and what should be the proper standard practice. Now, again, this isn't going to be an all comprehensive course for your whole life, but certainly should give you some broad guidelines to be aware of and cognizant of when you think of. The book that I mentioned in the library is out of print. I Googled it once, and it was like available for like $250. Okay, please don't get that. But if you happen to be somewhere and you see it for like $10, $20, then let me know. I would like a copy one day, okay? Money, the Bottom Line. Okay? And in the back, he has a sefer called Sefer Over LeSocher, and that's where I took the Makor sheet that we're doing today. Okay. As Akdama, his first thing he talked about was, before you get to any rules where you discuss what we're allowed to do in money, what we're allowed to do in money, we have to clarify one thing. I'm not going to focus so much on it, but it's worth mentioning. And that is that understanding that all the money you have is decided by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? And there's no way to understand, why can I do this and why can't I do this and is this good, is this mutter, is this usser, without understanding at the end of the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is deciding how much money you have. And if you don't follow His rules, so you're not going to have the amount of money, you're going to find yourself short. The only way to be getting the full amount of money that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to have is by following all the rules. Okay, let's read Kol Mezonotov Shel Adam Ketzuvim Lo Rosh Hashanah. Every Rosh Hashanah, when we get judged, it's decided how much money you're going to have. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have to do your part. We don't get open miracles. We have to do our part. So you have to have a job. You can't just expect a Kaddish Baruch Hu to provide for you. You have to go get your job. You have to do your job. You have to open a business. You have to do whatever it is in order for a Kaddish Baruch Hu to be able to provide for you. But the problem is, where is the line between doing your ishtadlus, doing your part, and where is the line between doing more than necessary and trying to get more money than is supposedly coming to you? Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is anyway, your armuna is that He's setting how much money we're getting. So if I do more hishtadlus, will I be getting more money or not? It says, Kol mi shetayv la'ashir, mi'ageah, mi'al shir hishtadlus, roi lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu mazmin lo hotzot she'e motzi arbe. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu set how much money you're supposed to have for the year, if you worked harder and did earn more money, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also sends you more expenses. You're going to end up with the amount of money HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. So yes, you figured out a way to, instead of earning $1 million, you earn $2 million. Well, of the $1 million, you were supposed to keep $500,000. So now you earn $2 million. All of a sudden, your expenses are $1.5 million. Okay, that's how the world works. This is part of our emunah. But derech shadam rotze lelechpa molichim oto ki az choshev yafeh siti shetarachti beser etzvatay larvi acharvei shem lokin meichan hayiti motzei haotzar alalu. The way you go is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats you, the way you're working for, and you start thinking, look how much I earned, look how great I am. And you don't realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just gave you extra expenses. If you earned a little bit less, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have sent you fewer expenses. There's a mashal of the Chafetz Chaim. Somebody came to Chafetz Chaim and said, I have a business, I have a forest, and I'm cutting down trees, and we have a business opportunity to buy another forest. Should I buy the other forest? So Chafetz Chaim said, wait, you're making a living with this forest? Yeah, Baruch Hashem, a good living. I have enough for my needs, I'm covering. So he says, so who says the other forest will help you? And he gave him a mashal. He says, imagine you have a wine barrel, and you have a spout. And the wine comes out of the spout. So somebody says to you, why don't you put another spout and you'll get twice as much wine. The barrel is a finite amount. You're not going to get twice as much wine. You'll just be getting it faster. But the same amount of wine at the end of the day. It looks to you, I'm getting twice as much as I was getting 10 minutes ago. But midat hayayin b'chavit adayin katsuvahi. The wine would have just come out eventually, and now you just got it twice as fast. But you didn't get any more than you would have otherwise. Somebody doesn't follow Hashem's words, doesn't understand that his success is correlated and direct correlation to following Hashem's words. So by not doing what he's supposed to be doing, so he's not only not going to be successful in this world, he's also going to get punished. So this is just a hakdama to our topic, but it's always worthy of thinking about when you're in your career. You know, if there's a question that comes up all the time, the person's business isn't doing so well, so he figures, let me stay open on Shabbos, I'll learn extra business. And we all know that that's an important yesod in our emunah, is that no, 6 days a week we work, and Shabbos we don't work. And even if your accountant says to you, no, if you're open the seventh day, you'll earn more. No. Hashem may be giving you more. You may get more, but Hashem's going to take it away from elsewhere. You're going to have more expenses. You will never be niskar from doing that extra work on Shabbos. So this comes up in life, You have to understand that, like you have a business and somebody opens the same business next door and you took a loss. So that is an issur referred to as asagas gvul, and you can take him to Beis Din and figure it out. But you have to understand, it's not him who caused you the loss. It's Kadosh Baruch Hu who caused you the loss. Okay, you might have to do your shtadlus and figure out, is it allowed? There's times in New York, in Rav Moshe Feinstein Paskin in New York City, there's so many people, there's no hasagas gvul. No hasagas gvul. Okay, you have a pizza store and somebody opens a pizza store near you, there's enough business to go around. You did it, so you don't get to say it. In other places, if you're in the middle of nowhere and there's one kosher, I imagine in the Jewish community in Sydney, Australia, how many pizza stores are there? No? Anyone here?
Well, I am this too.
Two? Oh, okay. So imagine if three more pizza stores opened up, the two wouldn't be making as much, you know, living. So if they did that, they'd be like, oh, listen, you're not supposed to open a pizza store. That's a sagas gvul. You're hurting my business. And that's what's supposed to happen. But in New York City, there's enough business to go around. Moshe Feinstein said that. But that is a consideration. We'll be discussing a sagas gvul as part of our discussion. But where does this come up? Sometimes, you know, Baruch Hashem, I'm in touch with alumni, and they're, you know, working, and they want to get ahead in their job. Rightfully so. So you want to earn more, you want to be able to provide. So the question is, what should they be doing? So everybody works till 5:30, let's say. So if I stay work till 6, I look like a good worker, and they'll want to promote me. So that's the question. If If everybody's staying till 5:30 and you work till 6, and that's the hishtadlus, and then you get promoted, so that makes sense. That could be the hishtadlus. But if everybody's working till 5:30 and somebody will get promoted, and it might be you if you just, you know, work better, so then maybe you don't need to do that. You only have to do what's expected and normal. You don't have to do above the norm. The norm might change. It could, you know, if you work in accounting and, you know, tax time the month before, so everybody works till 11 at night, so that becomes the norm. You can't say, no, I'm only doing my hishtadlus, I'm only working till 5:30. No, in crunch time, everyone's expected to stay late, so you might have to do that too. But you don't have to start staying till 11 when everybody's staying till 5:30. That's, you know, that's beyond the hishtadlus. Okay, that's more of a discussion of emunah, bitachon, but that's all the hakdama for our topic now. So let's begin with geneva and gezeila, in Oz Bet. Asur legnov o legzol afilu kosherhu. You can't steal even the slightest amount. Afilu derech schok, even as a joke. Vafilu amana lahachzir, even if you intend to return it. Okay, this happens, you know, chataya nimazker. I've been part of it, you know. Friends hide something from their friend as a joke, and he looks for it, and ha ha ha, you can't find it, and it's a cute little prank. And then, you know, when I learn the alachas each time, I'm like, oh man, we shouldn't have done that, because that was really asur. Okay, when you take the item from the friend, even as a joke, that's asur. Even if it's less than a sheva pruta, it's asur. Okay, this is true whether it's from ben yisrael gadol ben katan, whether it's from an adult, whether it's from a child, whether it's from your family member. All the more so if it's from your parents, it's all asur. It is also asur, gam asur legnov legzol me'akum. It is absolutely asur to steal from a non-Jew as well. I remember one time when Rav Mordechai Willig Shlita, he's a Rosh Yeshiva in YU, was here giving a shir in our yeshiva, and we're learning Bava Metzia this year. It might have been a Bava Metzia year. And he was giving some kind of shir that was connected to Gzeilat Akum, Gnevat Akum. And he started the shir, he said, before I say anything, it is absolutely usher to steal from a non-Jew. Let's make it very clear. And a few times throughout the shir, he stopped and said, let's be very clear. It is absolutely forbidden to steal from a non-Jew. And why did he keep doing that? Because you guys are learning about Mitzvah now, and you might start coming across Makoros, that sugyas that say something like, can have a zakum, isn't this isser? It's not that it doesn't apply to that, and you can't return the lost item. There's all sorts of sugyas. Now, so do you want to say that maybe this is part of this isser deraita, and it's not part of an isser deraita, it's part of this derabana? There might be all sorts of lumdas behind it, and you'll learn the sugyas and you'll learn them. When it comes down to it at the end of the day, it is usher to steal from a non-Jew as well. Let us be 100% clear from that. You can't steal from a non-Jew or a Jew. You cannot steal from, it's usher to steal from a non-Jew. What? Okay, you can start getting into lumdas, why, this and that, and Mishum Eva, who knows. All the reason, that might be true. But at the end of the day, you have to understand it's usher to steal from a non-Jew. Yes?
You know what I'm saying about certain types of gambling?
Right. So, because gambling isn't actually stealing. Gambling is an accepted activity. When we discussed in our share in gambling, we're saying people make a bet. You know, I bet you $5, I win, I take the $5, you win, you take. He doesn't feel that stealing, and it's not technically stealing. So therefore, between Jews, we don't want you doing that. So we have a special rule to be extra careful to not be taking money from a Jew who doesn't fully want to give it to you. But because it's not actually stealing, you, according to the Ramah, Shulchan Aruch, by the way, says you're not allowed to do it. But according to the Ramah, we said for Ashkenazim, you are allowed to take that money because it's not stealing. But something that he views as stealing, you're certainly not allowed to do. Okay, there it's allowed because they don't view it as stealing. They view it as you lost a bet, pay up. Okay, that's just considered like a business transaction. Just like if you bought a business and it failed and you have to pay up. Okay, so that's why. Okay, but understand it is forbidden to steal from a non-Jew. Let's continue. Causing a loss improperly is also considered gezel. For example, a person sends you to buy something. Sometimes people are on business or taking care of something, and they go to the store and they buy it, and they're not as careful with the money because it's not theirs. It's an office credit card, company card. So you also have to be careful with their money and not let it cause them an unnecessary loss. Okay? Now that doesn't mean that every time that, you know, sometimes I get, oh, they said I could spend $50 on food and I only spent $45. Do I get to keep the last $5? So you can ask them. They might say, yeah, $50 on food. You don't eat so much, so keep it. Or they'll say, no, if you spend $50 on food, you can. And if you don't spend $50 on food, then we'll keep it. Depends on the company. You know, sometimes bigger companies are a little more lenient than that. In other words, $50 a day is yours. Whatever, take it, leave it. Okay, so then that's company policy. But what you're not allowed to do is, you know, just buy and waste and expense. You know, somebody told me that, or I saw it once, I think, that a guy didn't correct the register, you know, when they rung it up wrong, since it was within the amount and the company was paying. I was like, no, you're causing a loss to the company. That you're not allowed to do that. Okay? Nechlaba zanitzos chuyot shalukad. And this comes up all the time. This yeshiva gets an employee, you know, gets a discount. This company gets an employee discount, 10% off. So can I use my friend's employee discount to buy something? So you can only get what you're entitled to. You have to make sure to only obtain the benefits in accordance with all the rules and regulations in terms of services, discounts, etc. So where does this come up? Let's start with some shaylas that come up. You know, whoever here was in school and playing with something they shouldn't have been of, and the Rebbe took it away. Does that happen to you?
Yeah.
Is that allowed?
Chinuch,
yeah. So the Pirkei Choshen says the Rebbe has a little more authority to be mechanech, like your parents. Your parents are allowed to take it. Don't go, that's mine. No, so the Rebbe's teacher is allowed to take away something from the child, but with the intention to turn it. They're not allowed to really confiscate it. You can confiscate it, you know, for now. You can say, you know, when have your parent come, I'll give it to them. All that can be legitimate in school rules, especially if they're clear rules. If you do it on a whim, it's a little bit worse. But in other words, if the Rebbe makes rules, you bring something you shouldn't play in order to get it back, you're going to need to know from your parents. So that's the rule, and that's legitimate. That's not considered stealing. Normally, taking something away from a person is stealing. There, it's allowed. Let's say a store has a limit 2 per customer on some item. They have some great sale, 2 per customer. So what do? You go in the store and you buy 2. Walk outside, go back in and buy another 2 more. Is that allowed? It's likely not allowed. Sometimes, you know, if you speak to the store manager, so you can ask, and they're like, no, they just didn't want people buying 50. So if you buy 3, it's okay. Okay, if they let you, so then it's fine. But not just pretending to be another person and getting another 2 more. And you go, but oh, the person who bought $100 in the store, got 2. I spent $500 in the store. I should be entitled to 10. So, okay, go make the argument. Tell them that. And if they say yes, yes. But you can't just, you know, rule that for yourself. Even if the cashier just lets it go, that's taking advantage of a lazy cashier. That doesn't work. You know, it's just like shoplifting when they're not looking at the door. That's not allowed. So, you can't say, oh, the owner is still making profits because I spent so much. No, you have to go ask the owner and ask him why and come up with it. And he might give it to you at a cheap rate, you know. And don't say, oh, the owner knows the people do this. It's shtick. Well, you know, I took economics and accounting, and they taught us that when you have a business, you always have to plan 3% of whatever you have for sale. You have to write it off because damage and spill and shoplifting. People take it. So you have to plan that. In other words, if you know that in order to make a living and stay open and pay your workers and make a profit, you buy the item at this price and you sell it at that price. You know, you make a pizza and you sell it for, I don't know, $15 a pie and it costs you about $4 to make. So you have to calculate how you're going to make your living and the rent and the workers and the employees and the taxes and everything else. So when you plan that in, they tell you you also have to plan 3% of them are going to get stolen, let's say. Does that make it okay to steal it? Obviously not. So just because he's cheshbon, it doesn't make it mutter for you. A store gives a discount to certain yeshiva. So can you know? Let's say you belong to that yeshiva. So can you buy your friend a sefer? So you can. You can buy your friend a sefer. Can your friend use the discount and buy himself a sefer? No. In other words, it's not only that you use the discount for yourself. You could use the discount, you know, they want you to buy all your svarim there, buying yourself a book, great. You're buying your friend a book, great. But if the discount were available to everybody, they would just make the price cheaper. Clearly, they want to give a discount to this specific person there, or group. So only those who get the discount are allowed to do it. So you're allowed to use it to buy a gift. And you could buy it yourself, decide you don't want it, and sell it. And you could sell it at the full price. So you got it at 10% off. That's allowed too. As long as you bought it for yourself and you don't want it anymore, you're done. But again, you have to make sure that you're not getting hana, you're not getting benefit from something that you really don't deserve. Are there any questions on that? On employee discounts, student discounts, whatever it is? Okay. Sometimes the places don't mind. You know, hey, my friend, you know, can I... There's like supermarkets with membership. So can I bring someone in to shop with me? If he's with you, yes. You know, but he can't just come in on his own. That's how that works. Okay. Our next topic is Dina de Malchuta Dina when it comes to taxes. Dina Malchuta Dina means the law of the land is the law. Which means it's forbidden to get more from the government than it's rightfully yours according to its laws. But you are allowed to use any loophole in the law. Not in enforcement, but in the law. Not that they'll let it go and they don't care and they're not checking, they're not so good about it. But in that the law allows for this loophole, you can even design your business in a way that avoids all taxes if it's legal. In America, different states, and there's 50 states, different states have different laws. So apparently the state of Delaware has the best corporate finance laws, something. So every credit card company is incorporated in Delaware. There's no one there. There's like a building with just mailboxes. I guess one guy runs this company for everybody. But everybody, oh, my company's in Delaware. Then they pay the least taxes. The government, if it wants, can make a law and close that law. You know, change the law, and then no one would do that. Everybody would just be incorporated where they live. But as long as they don't, and that's the law, that's the loophole, there's no reason that you open a credit card and you open a bank that you also can't incorporate in Delaware. All that's allowed. So the same thing, if, you know, I don't know how the tax laws work in Australia and in South Africa, but if for some reason one area has, you know, their city tax and state tax, and the other city has cheaper tax, and they let you say, okay, I live in the other city, so if they let it, you know, if you have to say you live in the other city and they, you know, and you're lying and it's a problem and they try to catch people like that, then it's a problem to do it. But it's a problem only if they say it's a problem. If it's a legal loophole, a legal fiction, then that's allowed. Yes?
Does the same thing apply between different countries?
Same between the different countries, as long as it's allowed. In other words, in America, there's sometimes loopholes for offshore accounts. So if you're, they might have rules. You have to visit there. I know someone who has a home in New York City and in New York State. They're not talking different country. But New York City has a very high tax rate. So he has a house in both places, but the tax rate is different if you actually live in the New York City in the house. So he actually counts the number of days he visits his home in the city. In other words, that way he's there less than 180 days a year. So he only goes in weekends or, I don't know, weekdays, and then he counts the number of days. So he's never there more than half the year, so that he doesn't pay the higher tax rate. Is there any problem? Well, the law is that if you live there 180 days, you pay this tax. If you live there 179 days, you don't pay this tax. He's fully entitled to only live there 179. There's no problem with that. So if the law allows it, then you're allowed to do it lechachila. Okay? There's no like, oh, they clearly wanted you to pay the tax and then you should pay it. That doesn't apply in halacha. Okay? And halacha tells you you have to pay the tax if you have to pay the tax. You don't have to get yourself to pay the tax. If the legal loophole exists, you're allowed to use it. So if you ship a car from Europe, it gets taxed. But if you ship it in parts, it doesn't get taxed. So you're allowed to take the car apart and avoid the tax. Okay, that's legal loophole. That happens a lot. I have ordered watches from China. So, you know, AliExpress. So they send you the band and the watch. That's apparently cheaper than the two together. Okay. If it's legal, it's legal. Some people think, you know, Dina Malchuta is what it says in the law, but that's only Lakula. For example, you have speed limits. If 50 miles an hour. You're allowed to go 52 miles an hour. It's not a problem of din l'machut adina. Okay? Because the law is makpid on driving 85 in the 50 mile an hour zone. It's not on 50. If it's acceptable to the populace, it's not a problem of din l'machut adina. That's not because everyone does it. It means that it's acceptable. It's not because, if they had, let's say they had enough officers, they still wouldn't stop people for 52 into 50. They're not looking for the 2 miles an hour. They're looking for the 35 mile an hour over people. Not those people, the one speeder. It happened in Corona, or Mordechai told me that, because they had rules that were very, I think they still have them in Australia. You're not allowed to gather more than a certain number of people, 5 people, 10 people. So there was a time in Israel, where the rule was 20 people. So we had minyan. There were a lot of minyan, meet 20 people. So Mordechai's like, I got to minyan, and there were 22 people. Are you allowed to join that minyan? Are they really taxing, giving a ticket for when there's 21 people? Or are they giving tickets when there's 40 people, or 100 people, or 200 people? So, the Rabbanim of the Yeshiva said, no, 21 people, you don't have to make an opinion. The minute you have 30 people and you can really make two minyanim, 115 people, do that. So that's part of dinu machot dina. The country makes a law, you have to keep it. Let's say you get taxed at a certain rate when it's over $1 million and your salary is $1 million, Bezrat Hashem, wow, $1 million and then 50,000. Okay? So can I pay you $999,999 and I'll give you $50,000 as a gift so you don't get the higher tax bracket. So that's a lie. And that you're not allowed to do. Okay? You could come up with a way, it's an expense, we'll pay your car, your gas, your furniture budget, whatever. Then it's within the law. But you can't just pay you on the books most and pay you off the books some as a way to avoid the tax. That's called stealing, illegal. Okay. I think we'll stop with this topic. Also, if you get a speeding ticket and the officer pulls you over and you're like, you can argue, oh, the sign wasn't clear, I didn't see, that's allowed. But to say, why don't you just give me a seatbelt violation or something like that, that's already a problem. But if he offers it, you're allowed to accept it. I've heard from postgame. So okay, so we're gonna. I didn't get to all the topics I planned today. We'll pick up with the next one next time. It's hard for me to gauge how much I'll get done in a half an hour. Yes.
Would bribing the police officer be
awesome? Bribing is absolutely yes, sir. Yes. 100% awesome to bribe anyone.